Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Sunday, March 15th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. I was away on Friday, still recuperating from this cold or allergy, whatever it was, conserving my voice a little bit, so my apologies for being away. Wasn't certain if I was going to do a week ahead segment this evening or not, but given what transpired this evening, I felt compelled to do so, at least to give a short podcast, if nothing else. But we'll see what happens in case I go on a tirade. Maybe this will be a little bit longer. Time will tell. But the title of this podcast is Central Banks Panic. This is not a question. This is an exclamation point. Central Banks Panic. The Federal Reserve lowered the target range for its federal funds rate by 100 basis points to 0% to 0.25% and launched a massive $700 billion quantitative easing program during an emergency move earlier today to protect the U.S. economy from the effects of the coronavirus. The Fed also cut the rate of emergency lending at the discount window for banks by 125 basis points, now to 0.25%. It also lengthened the term of loans to 90 days and slashed reserve requirements for thousands of banks to zero. The Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell also added during his press conference that he doesn't see negative rates as appropriate policy. Now, there's a lot to unravel here. The Federal Open Market Committee was scheduled to meet this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. And on the Wednesday meeting, they would announce to the world what their decision would be. They're going to cut rates. They're going to hold them steady. They're going to announce quantitative easing. What are they going to do? We were going to hear this on Wednesday. Those meetings aren't taking place, because those meetings already took place. They took place probably over the weekend, most definitely today, because a decision has been rendered. The Federal Reserve cut by 100 basis points down to 0%. We have not been here since the great financial crisis of 2008. This is historic, ladies and gentlemen. We are in the midst of something we have not witnessed as a human race. Maybe ever, at least not to this type of degree, with a demand shock, a supply shock, and a massive monetary experiment that has been going on since the great financial crisis. In addition to a whole bunch of erroneous and fraudulent fiscal policies from federal governments the world over thrown into the mix. How much ammunition does the Federal Reserve and all these other central banks have now? And we're just getting started into this great unraveling. They have none. They have nothing. I think they're in hiding. Remember the ECB came out the other day. Oh, well, you know, we're just going to sort of remain calm right now, see what takes place. But the next meeting that we have, it's going to be online. It's going to be, you know, a virtual meeting, meaning there's not going to be anybody in the room. The press isn't going to be there, yada, yada, yada. We're just going to do it online. Maybe they're going to end up being in a bunker somewhere. Maybe that's where our central bankers at the Federal Reserve are going to be too. They couldn't wait 2 to 3 days to make this decision. Why did they have to come out tonight or this afternoon and make this decision? What's going on here? $700 billion in quantitative easing. So instead of it being short-term bills, which they've been doing, and of course they don't call this quantitative easing because short-term bills don't pay a coupon, they say, oh, well, technically it's not quantitative easing. Okay, Jack. Now they're going further out on the curve, which means they are going to be purchasing treasuries at various duration, and those do offer coupons. So what does that mean? Is this quantitative easing? Of course it is. Of course it is. It's further monetization of the debt from Uncle Sam, which is already out of control, nearing $24 trillion and counting, $700 billion. And we don't know how long this is going to last, and we do not know how quickly they will use that money up. That was a question. And of course, this wasn't on TV. This was a phone conference, but I was listening. And one reporter asked very wisely, how is this going to be distributed? How is this $700 billion going to be used up? Well, according to Jay Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, however we want. There's not going to be any limit. There's not going to be any hard, fast rule that it's, we're going to keep this in place for a year. So it's going to be $700 billion divided by 12. And that's what we're going to do. That's the monthly amount that we're going to do to expand our balance sheet, to buy these treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. Nope. They are not limiting themselves. If they want to do $700 billion this month alone, they can do it. Nobody's going to stop them. Nobody's going to keep them in check. One of the main reasons I want the Federal Reserve abolished. This is a government of, by, and for the people, a system of checks and balances. Nobody overrules them. Nobody keeps them in check. Nobody holds them accountable. How can such an institution wield so much power in this country and be allowed to exist? This is elementary. This is a basic question, and I want an answer. $700 billion, money out of nowhere, to buy treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. And that's just what they tell us now. The Fed also cut the rate of emergency lending at the discount window. The discount window, folks, is a window, if you will, of course, not a literal window, but a window at the Federal Reserve for banks to go to in rare emergency situations. If they can't get funding from the market, if the rates, even from the Federal Reserve, are too high at market, well, then they can go to the discount window. And of course, there is secrecy shrouded in this. So we will never know of the banks who go to the discount window. Never know. We will not know. Unless I can't remember the regulations with the Fed, how many years maybe later down they can release that. But we're, as far as now is concerned, we're never going to know. Okay? Banks going bankrupt, running out of cash, etc., 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 going to the Federal Reserve's discount window to be bailed out. We won't know who they are, but they're going. And they're being asked to go to that window. So the Fed knows how big of a mess this is going to be, as do other central banks. And we're going to get to that too. Discount window, they cut those rates 125 basis points, now resting at 0.25%, and lengthened the term of the loans out to 90 days. And another big kicker is they slashed the reserve requirements for thousands of banks to zero. Typically, the reserve requirement is about 10%. We talk about this in great detail in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. So for every $100 in deposits in the banking system, there needs to be 10% held in reserves. That's the cash. $100, 10% is $10. That cash has to be maintained in the vault. That's the reserve requirement. On top of that extra $90 that's out there, the banks can go out and make loan after loan after loan. It's a fractional reserve banking system. I'm not going to get into it here. Check it out in the book. Maybe I'll do a separate podcast explaining it, but it's a fraud. It is a reverse pyramid scheme, if you will. Okay? This is why we live in a system of trust and confidence, because if everybody went to the bank to get their cash, it wouldn't be there. The first few lucky souls who got to the bank first, they'd get their money. But the guy at the back of the line, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen because all of that money is out there in loans. And then you're going to have huge margin calls and loan calls because these banks are going to have to call up everybody that has a loan because your deposit is their liability. Your deposit is the bank's liability. Their loans are the bank's assets. So when you come in asking for your cash, they have to give it to you. And if they don't, well, then they're going to have to call in those loans. You got a business? Yep, you got to sell. You got to have a huge liquidation sale because we need the cash because we're on the hook to our depositors. These are the runs on the banks. Great Depression, you saw people circled around the banks. This is what happens. This is what happens. That's the reserve requirement. So that's cut down. So this is basically saying they can just, they don't even have to hold the cash. It's all out there. Give the loans out there. This is emergency time. Everybody needs some type of easy credit. Go give it to them. Not good, folks. They are starting to show their hand. They have been bluffing for a very long time. I've called BS on this over a decade ago when they pulled this out of their you-know-what. I said, this ain't going to work. This is not going to work. And lo and behold, they were able to do their magic show for a little over a decade, and now the chickens are coming home to roost. And they don't know what to do. And they're out of ammunition. The Federal Reserve is at zero. Where's next? They're going to go to negative territory because Jay Powell said, oh, I don't think negative rates are appropriate. But don't worry about it. Thunder Thumbs is extremely happy that we're finally back to zero again. But I'm sure he's not that happy because he wants them to be into negative territory. I don't know if Thunder Thumbs thought that the Dow Jones stocks futures were going to be rallying off the back of this, but they're not. They're not. The Dow Jones Industrial Average futures, the S&P 500 futures, and the NASDAQ futures have all hit limit down once again. I think this is the fifth time in the past six sessions. Limit down means they've hit 5% sell-off, circuit breakers kicked in, that's it. They are frozen. They are not moving until it's time to open up. 5%. Because there was really only two outcomes that was going to take place from this, as far as I can see, with this type of announcement on a Sunday afternoon. The markets were either going to interpret this as panic, because there's a scheduled FOMC meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday. Why could you not wait another 48, 72 hours to make this decision known? Or the crackheads on Wall Street could have rejoiced, because now the dealer came through with their crack, and it was a big dose. Those were the two outcomes as far as I could see it. The markets could say panic and sell off, or they could say, hell yeah, our crack dealer's here, let's shoot off to the moon. Well, it appears that it's the former, that they're viewing this as panic. Now, anything could take place tomorrow. You know, we talk about the futures markets at time on this podcast because we do these later in the evening. And what do I always say? At the time of this podcast, because anything could change. Even on Thursday evening into Friday, the futures were down. What happened last Friday? They took off one of the largest days ever, the largest day ever. Increase of 9-10%. Okay? So nothing is set in stone just because it happens in the futures market. But off of the back of such an announcement by the Federal Reserve, a second, if you will, emergency meeting in as little as a week and a half, 2 weeks, cutting interest rates by 150 basis points over the course of 2 weeks, taking us back to the zero bound. What else do they have? How much more money are they going to print? $1.5 trillion they threw into the markets last week in repo market that was supposed to be temporary back in September. You know, you don't listen to these people. You do not trust them. I hope you understand this by now, especially those who have been with me. Jay Powell, oh, I don't think negative interest rates are an appropriate policy. So what? So what would you think? You told us a year and a half ago, if it was that long ago, that the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, the roll-off of it, the reduction of it, was on autopilot. Then you stopped. Then you started to cut interest rates. Then you expanded the balance sheet, and now you're in overdrive. You're not to be trusted. Nobody's to be trusted. How many podcasts do I have to do with these titles? Who to trust? Where's the leadership? Lack of credibility. There is no credibility. Up, down, which way's up? They're all liars. There's no leadership. And we have Thunder Thumbs in the Oval Office rooting all this crap on. I want negative interest rates. I want that money. Well, what the hell? What are you going to do with it? Who are you going to give it to? Where's it going to go? Who's it going to benefit? Reserve Bank of New Zealand, also in an emergency meeting on Monday, their time, cut interest rates to record lows and is working on a bond buying program as well, or some sort of asset purchasing program as well. The Reserve Bank of Australia is set to have an announcement this Thursday, but are intimating that they too will be cutting interest rates or beginning some sort of asset purchasing program as well. Bank of Japan, also in an emergency meeting this afternoon, or I should say Monday their time, addressing the possibility that they too stand ready for extra stimulus and they too may begin buying more assets. And don't forget, the Bank of Japan buys ETFs. They buy equities outright. You think these central banks are panicking, folks? I would say yes. Yes, they are. Same thing with the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England. They are all standing ready for extra stimulus. And of course, the ECB is as well. We also have country after country after country on continent after continent upping the restrictions. Beijing, China, of course, is now making it a mandatory quarantine of 14 days for anybody traveling into Beijing. A mandatory 14 days. It doesn't matter if you're a resident, a citizen of China, or of the city of Beijing. It makes no difference. If you've been away, you come in, 14 days quarantine, and you're going to a facility. Australia has done the same thing for the entire country. 14-day quarantine. So how many people are going to go on vacation just to be in quarantine for 2 weeks before they go out? How many people can afford to do that? Airline after airline is announcing layoffs, cost-cutting measures, and seeking assistance from the respective governments. This is just the tip of the iceberg, ladies and gentlemen. Just the tip of the iceberg. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, is now recommending no more than 50 people gather in any one location for the next 8 weeks. So no large gatherings, no greater than 50 people for the next 8 weeks. Now, this is not yet mandatory. This is a recommendation, which to me is the analogy I like to use with the boiling of a frog. You don't throw a frog into a boiling pot of water. The adrenaline in him, he jumps right out. But if you put the frog in a lukewarm pot and you turn up the heat, before you know it, he's cooked. So I think this is just sort of, okay, CDC, let's make a recommendation. Let's get the people accustomed to this being the case, being the norm. And then the federal government will come out and mandate that there are no gatherings at all. At all. And we're talking 8 weeks. So that's 2 months. All right. So that's 2 months. That takes us into the middle of May. At the earliest. At the earliest. So, a lot of the political arguments now and everything going around, you know, bailouts. Bailouts coming. We talked about this a little bit last week. Who is to get bailed out? To what cost? How does it work? What is the Federal Reserve even doing? Who are they bailing out right now? Is it really them giving money to anybody? Or is this just liquidity being thrown through the system so, you know, there's some lubrication in the pipe so nothing gets crammed up and clogged up? Is that what we're talking about here? Because in essence, it is. They are just trying, even with trillions of dollars already, they are just keeping the system afloat. This isn't strong. This isn't sturdy. And again, I go back to the question, how can this be the greatest economy ever? How can everything be so fantastic? How can COVID-19 be nothing to look at, nothing to sneeze at, nothing to worry about, right? There's only 15 people who have it. They're all going to be fine. Nobody's going to die. Remember that? A couple weeks ago, nothing to see here. Everybody's going to be fine. Two, we need emergency measures. We need two emergency monetary meetings from our central bank authority. We need fiscal stimulus, the likes we have not seen since the depths of the Great Recession. You cannot have it both ways. So the markets smell a rat. And coincidentally, isn't this also the year of the rat, the Chinese year of the rat? Interesting, isn't it? And we have a plague. Yeah, very interesting, isn't it? Can't make this stuff up. The market may just be calling BS on all of this once and for all, which I have been stating here since this podcast has been online. It will eventually happen. Did I know when? Nope, don't have that crystal ball. Did I know it was going to happen in my bones? I did. Did I think it was going to happen as quickly as it did, the rapidity of it that we've witnessed over the past month, giving back years of gains? No, I did not. That was a surprise. The Federal Reserve cutting interest rates to zero? Not a surprise either. We've been talking about it. The fact that they did this in a secondary emergency meeting, which is in lieu of their scheduled FOMC meeting this week, that surprised me. That surprised me. I was waiting for this on Wednesday. They gave it to us today. So the bailouts. The bailouts. Who's the money supposed to go to? We have a supply shock. We have a demand shock. Monetary policy isn't going to do you any good. Fiscal policy isn't going to do you any good. Why? Because people are in lockdown. You can't travel. You can't go to restaurants. You can't go on vacation. Where are you going to go? We're going to go on vacation, honey. Well, we're not allowed to be around people. Well, isn't vacation? You're always around people. That's the point of vacation to some degree. You're going somewhere where a lot of people want to be. You're going to the beach. You're going to a national park. Lots of people walking around. All the touristy things to do. Sightseeing. You're going to be around a ton of people. Well, you can't do it. So where's the stimulus? Where's it going to go? People are finally waking up, some of them, finally waking up that this is not going to be a V-shaped recovery, which we have been stating here since day one. People are finally catching on. Some people still not the case. Some people still think that somehow there can be some sort of fiscal stimulus measure that is going to somehow rebound animal spirits and revive the American consumer, who is already gasping for air. Remember, record high auto loan delinquencies, falling behind again on their credit cards, falling behind on their student loans, excuse me, living paycheck to paycheck. Half the country not having, or a third, I can't remember the statistic off, you know what I'm talking about, we cite it here, a significant portion of the country not having $400 cash in the event of an emergency. You get what I'm saying? And people would say, oh, the consumer is so strong. Yes, if we just gave some fiscal stimulus to them and put money in their pockets, they would go out and spend it. Oh, fantastic. More poor behavior of these people going out, buying things they do not need, that they do not use, that they cannot afford. For what? What is that going to stimulate? If it was such a panacea, we wouldn't be where we are today. We'd be booming. But we're not booming now, and we weren't booming before. It was all a charade. It was all a house of cards. The tax cuts gave us a boost at the expense of over $1 trillion deficit and counting. It's been discounted into the markets, and now it's been completely wiped out. Deregulation, same thing. I'm all for them, but now they've been discounted into the markets, and they've been completely wiped out. Trillions of dollars of wealth that just flooded these markets, a lot of it on debt, a large of it on margin, has just been completely wiped out. Where is the risk appetite going to come from for people to get back into these markets in such volatile times with such uncertainty? Because people are going to start losing their jobs. It is the next step. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know how large that stimulus package would have to be, whether it's from the Federal Reserve or from the federal government. You know how large that would be? And how does that work? Who has to pay for that at the end of the day? Presumably the same people who would be getting bailed out. Put it in my right pocket today so I can pay you back out of my left pocket tomorrow. I mean, give me a break. Because here's the thing. Say there was some sort of huge fiscal stimulus that actually put money in the hands of the consumer. What are they going to do with it? I mean, presumably they'd spend it. Most people would spend it. Most people are going to think, well, these markets are too volatile. There's no way I'm going to get in the stock market. Most people don't get in the stock market to begin with. So that's gone. So they're not going to invest it. Most people don't save. We know this. So it's unlikely that the vast majority of people are going to be saving, which would be the right thing to do. Some people, I would assume, would pay down some debts, but to a degree that would really be beneficial, no. So most people are going to spend it. Most people are going to spend it, again, on stuff they don't need, they can't afford, and shouldn't have anyway. But if you, quote-unquote, bailed out the consumer, are you really bailing out the consumer, or are you making the consumer basically a financial intermediary? So here's the scenario, right? The Federal Reserve and or the federal government can bail out Wall Street again, and major corporations again. They can do that again. I don't want them to. Didn't want them to do it a decade ago, but they did. So they can either directly give them the cash, right? Or maybe they'll give it to the consumer, who then the consumer, going out and purchasing things, would in effect be bailing them out. You follow what I'm saying? Because if you're going to give money to some banks on Wall Street or General Electric or some other big corporation, but they say, we're not going to do it that way. We're not going to give it directly to them. Instead, we'll give it to the consumer. Well, where's the consumer going to spend the money? On products made by General Electric, on services from Amazon, on products from Microsoft, on products from Google and Apple, right? They're just going to give it right back to them. So it's just a bailout of those companies through another means. The financial intermediary, the middleman, would be you and me, the American consumer. That's where it would go, right back to them. So people, that would be stimulative. No, it's a bailout to them because they've already lost the sales. Now you're just giving it back to them with money that came out of nowhere. With the same people, the taxpayer is going to be responsible for paying it back, plus interest. And this audience should understand by now what debt is. It's future demand and production brought forward to today. We've already done enough of that. And we are weeping the whirlwind of it right now. That is what we are witnessing. And we haven't seen anything yet. We have seen the tip of the iceberg. Because we have not seen, ladies and gentlemen, any of these companies go bankrupt yet. In the leisure and hospitality and entertainment sectors, which are huge globally, by the way. Nor have we seen any major bankruptcies in the energy sector. And they will, because we have a price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia. It's just a matter of time, because those companies have too much debt as well. When will the bailouts stop? Is it going to be for paying the mortgage? Okay, well, let's say, all right, well, we're going to make sure that these people, the consumer, they don't lose anything, right? So we're going to make sure that they can continue to pay their mortgage, continue to pay their rent, all this stuff. Okay, that's fine and dandy. But then who are you really bailing out in that situation, right? Because the consumer doesn't own their home. The bank does. They got a mortgage. Stop paying your mortgage, find out what happens to you. Find out who owns the house, right? So, yeah, you get to stay in the house, but you're bailing out the bank because the bank is getting paid. Any other type of loan for that matter. Again, you're just making the consumer a financial intermediary. You're making him a middle man. I get the check. That money goes right out back to the banks because they're the ones holding all this debt. Same thing with the companies. Even that makes the companies the financial intermediary, the middleman to the banks. Well, we got to bail out these shell players because they employ a lot of people. They get paid good wages. We can't afford to lose them. So here's a few $100 billion. And where does all that money go? To service the debt. Well, who owns the debt? The banks hold a lot of that debt. You get what I'm saying here, folks? Bailouts do not work. It doesn't matter what side of the ledger you're on because somebody always has to pay up at the end of the day. And it's always the taxpayer. Always. No more bailouts for anybody. It's it, period. End of story. Because this is the system that we have adopted. Bailouts, moral hazard, do what you want, take risks, live beyond your means, don't pay your debts, do what you want. Because don't worry, at the end of the day, you're going to get bailed out. Well, what about all of the people who did the right thing, lived within their means, paid off their debts, worked harder, worked smarter, and now they are on the hook for bailing everybody out too? This is going to cause such division. It's not even funny. I can see it clearly in front of me, sitting here right now, what is likely to transpire. I've said it here many times before, when all else fails, they take us to war. I still believe that, and I still warn this audience, because you maybe not have seen the headlines, because everything is all COVID-19, but there have been additional attacks on Iraqi bases and a retaliation from the United States in Iraq against Iranian forces. Okay? And I'm not saying that it's necessarily going to be with the United States. But when you have an oil war that is underway, in conjunction with everything else that is going on, when we see the global protests, and a lot of these protests have been taking places in countries that are highly dependent on oil and gas markets, well, they're already suffering. The governments are already suffering. They're already jacking up the prices of everyday things to compensate for this lack of funding, which in turn is making these people riot because they have nothing else. So this is just exacerbating the problem. So it's not necessarily going to be a war with us involved, although it likely will be. It could be civil wars in other countries or wars amongst other countries, absent the United States. But pay attention, because we are far from over. Central bank printing does not solve it. Fiscal stimulus does not solve it. And where's the fiscal stimulus going to come from? How is that going to be financed? These are simple, basic questions. I know it might sound good when Bernie's up there, well, they bailed out Wall Street. Why the hell can't they bail out too? Well, if you think like we just did here in a little bit of a thought exercise that took 2 minutes, you understand where that money ends up going. And that it doesn't do a thing, especially in this type of situation when you have a massive supply shock and a massive demand shock. Because you have countries that are literally shut down. Shut down. You cannot leave. You cannot come in. On top of that, you have many businesses that are shut down. You can't go spending the money. You understand? So even if you have some countries, maybe, such as China, that thinks, okay, we've hit the worst of this, at least the first wave of COVID-19, at least the first wave. We don't know how many more there's going to be, but history tells us there's typically at least two. If we think we're through the first wave, we're still going to remain on lockdown to some degree, at least from people coming into the country, because we don't want to kick up wave two. You understand? So this is far from over. Far from over. The United States tends to lag Italy right now by about a week. So what's going on in Italy? They're completely shut down. Would it surprise me if this country shuts down in about a week's time? The writing's on the wall with this CDC recommendation that is likely to take place, at least to a larger degree, because we've seen venue after venue after venue canceled, sporting event after sporting event canceled, seasons canceled or suspended. The only good thing that I do like, and this is how it should be anyway, and kudos to a lot of the athletes and owners of these sports teams who are donating their own money to help out the employees of those venues, of those arenas, of those stadiums. That's how it should be. It shouldn't be at the hands of the average Joe and the taxpayer. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of money. You can help people out for a couple of months. That's how it should work. If not, then you let it go, because it's going to happen anyway. We can continue to put Band-Aids on bullet wounds, or we can finally wake up to the fact that we have been shot and we need to go in and we need to get the bullet out and we need to do the surgery to make it better. That's what we got to do. It's going to be painful. It's going to take time to heal. It's going to take time to recuperate. So what? We'll be better off on the other side. But we do not have leadership anywhere on the face of this planet who will tell you the truth, who will tell you what needs to be done, that this system that we have adopted for years, but have been on hyperdrive since the great financial crisis, is a fraud. They're not going to come out and admit it, but by their actions, they just did, because these central banks and these federal governments are panicking, because the jig is up. These debt chickens are coming home to roost. You better be prepared. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. Buckle up, it's going to be a wild week.